Now here was his pedigree, his genealogy, his background, the environmental conditions, and the breeding that he came from. Here it is. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it's in thee also. So where did he get it from? Mama and grandma. He had two sterling examples. All right. Going on, let's see where he got it. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 15. From a child. He didn't start this off when he got up in teenage years. After he'd gone out and rebelled and caught a disease and been married a couple of times, and God had delivered him out of a mess of rebellion and enslavement to all these abominations and depravities and living like an animal. God don't need people that live like animals to be in the pulpit. He needs you in the pews. He needs you in the pews to witness to the grace of God, but he don't need you up here to teach it and exemplify it. He said, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Your background started when you were a child. And they're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All right? Titus, the 2nd chapter, he had another young man, second in line. Titus, what a great fella. I ain't going to start off with Titus 1, but in Titus 2, skipping the commendation of Paul to the young man, and now he's writing here to the church and to the members of the church and their obligations to the church to keep their children and their family intact by the grace of God. That's a lot better than letting your family go to the devil and then try to salvage them later. Now, I know it's admirable. If you started late in life, you got to try to overcome it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm not trying to degrade any effort that parents are making. If they get saved late in life, you got assessments that's going to be higher than that fellow that started off young, that was born into it. It's like life insurance. Your payments are greatly beyond what they would have been if you started paying when you was first born. Them little life insurance payments, a dime a week, you're not going to get them if you start at 30, 40, 50. It's going to be high. The effort's going to take a lot more courage and strength. But he says in Titus 2, speak the things that become sound doctrine, young man. This is a young preacher. The aged men, you tell them to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and in charity and patience. The aged women, that means the mature women, not the old tottery ladies necessarily, but just those that are aged or mature or sober, said you tell them to be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, but be teachers of good things. And don't teach men, by the way. Don't get that hold of you ladies. You're supposed to teach men. Says you teach the young women to be sober. You teach them teenagers. You teach them young adults. You teach them young married women. Here's what you teach them. To be sober. To love your husbands. To love your children. To be discreet. To be chaste. Discipline, that is. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Then he says, young men, you exhort them to be sober-minded. In all things showing themselves a pattern of good work. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that he that is of the contrary part will be ashamed of himself. I don't care where you are and what you are. If you're in the army or the military, if you're on a job, if you're the boss, or you're the employee, or you're in school, public school, private school, if you're working somewhere, you girls that work in Quince's, you others that work in other places. God says when you're in there, let your behavior become His holiness. And young men, same thing. You have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Let people see your pattern of good works, that they that are contrary, that don't believe it, that don't especially appreciate it, they'll be ashamed of themselves when they look at your disciplined behavior. And then he says servants or employees. That means hired people. Be obedient to your own masters or your boss. If you've got a job, be obedient to your boss. If you don't want to obey him, quit. That's your next step. Unless you want to go talk to him and have some form of understanding, but don't be sassing him. Please him well in all things. Don't answer him back. Don't purloin. That means don't extort. Don't embezzle. Don't steal from him. Because you say, I'm only getting $3.35 an hour. If I can take anything out of here, he owes it to me anyway. Boy, that's the way this whole stupid generation is set up. I'm not getting paid what I'm worth, so I'm going to take something. No, that's purloin. That's stealing. You don't do that to get even. If you don't like it, go get you another job. Go study to be something else. Praise God. Said, not purloining, don't extort, don't steal, showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, that you may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. God wants you to adorn the doctrines of the Bible by living a lifestyle that's above reproach, that has the possession of integrity in every facet of your life. Fidelity and integrity. It pays off. God said he rewards you for these things. If there's a payday, a glorious payday, and God says you need to start it off when you're young because you are going to reap what you sow. Listen to this scripture. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man or young woman, in your youth. Let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know thou that for all these things, your old heart and your old eyes look out and are bugged out, reaching for. For those things, God will bring you into judgment. God will bring you into judgment for walking after the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Proverbs 28:23 said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but he that walketh wisely shall be delivered. Let me tell you, you can't trust that heart. You've got to trust the word of God. Amen. It says holiness, then live holy. Don't go around arguing about it. That won't get you anywhere, arguing. Hide the word of God in your heart. Stay at home. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. That devil comes along to tempt you. Hide that word of God in your heart. That word of God will put the fear of God in you, that with fear and trembling, you'll be afraid, like Joseph told Potiphar's wife. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in doing this great sin. There's Potiphar's wife trying to test that 17 or 18-year-old boy, sold into captivity as a slave by his envious brethren because they knew God had his hand upon him. Potiphar's wife looked at this good-looking young fella. He was working in Potiphar's house. He was captain of Pharaoh's guard in the days of Joseph. Day by day, she tried to get him to come lay with her. He resisted. Finally, she grabbed him. Boy, he took off. Said, God forbid that I should commit this great sin against God. Not me. He wound up in jail. In jail for doing the right thing? Yes, he went to jail for doing the right thing. Isn't that better than being a slave to sin and the devil for doing the wrong thing? And you eventually land up in jail? Or in a hospital with some old damnable deadly disease on you? Or in a mental institution with a stinking demon oppressing you and driving you to insanity and all other kind of indignities? The Lord wants us to make Jesus our Lord and Master at an early age. David was 18 years old when he left home, but he didn't leave home voluntarily. He left because his brethren sold him as a slave. Jacob and Esau were brethren. They were different. God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Don't be old Esau, the old carnal rascal. The Bible said, you ever read that in Romans 9:13? You ever read that in Malachi 1 and verse 2? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It's in the New Testament. Why did God hate Esau?